This is Michael Easter. A quick note that if you're hearing this, you are not a member of 2%. Here's what that means. You'll be able to listen to the full episode of any of our podcasts that are published on Monday for free. Totally free. So enjoy. But you'll only get a preview of our episodes that are published on Wednesdays and Fridays. So if you want to become a member and get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes, please become a member at twopct.com. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. Welcome to 2% with Michael Easter. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. Another great day. Our post today is Don't Die, Beat Back Pain. Okay, a quick summary of this one before we dive in. So back pain is the most common and debilitating form of pain. More than 80% of people experience it in their life. And what happens is that it creates downstream effects that lead people to stop moving as much, which then limits their ability to live their life well while also tanking their health and longevity. Basically, back starts to hurt, so a person stops moving and then everything goes downhill. So the reason we're talking about this is because a new study looked at all the research on what forms of exercise help back pain, and it found two particularly great options. So what we're going to cover today is you're going to learn how to use one of the winners to bulletproof your back so you can move free now and into old age. Now, as a reminder, before we dive in, some quick housekeeping. John Deloney and I are going to be at Cornish Pasty Company in Las Vegas tomorrow, that is Thursday the 11th, night at 7 p.m. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be signing books. We're just going to be BSing with people, hanging around. Come say hi. It's going to be totally free, and we hope to see you there. Okay, now let's get into the post. Let's dive into this thing. So I kind of mentioned a little bit of this up top in the summary, but I think it's worth kind of going over again. Now, back pain, it is popular in the sense that McDonald's is popular. Over 1 billion served. So 80% of people experience low back pain at some point in their life. 25% of people have had it in the last few months. It's also the most common place people experience pain and the most frequent reason that people see a doctor or take a sick day at work. Up to 1/4 of patients never fully recover from low back pain. And people with chronic low back pain, they are twice as likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, psychosis, and sleep deprivation. And when people experience back pain, they tend to reduce their movement. And that creates all sorts of ill health effects that limit their experience of their life and reduce their health span and their lifespan. So back pain is a problem. We got it. Okay, so what are we going to do about it? Now, the problem with the problem is that we often try to treat it with pills, surgery, or rest. So those three options, the pills, surgery, and rest, they are an easy, no-effort treatment for back pain. But the issue is that evidence show they don't usually work. So here's a quote. This is from a global team of 12 doctors and scientists who studied all the evidence on back pain treatment. They wrote, "Rest, opioids, spinal injections, and surgery will not reduce back-related disability or its long-term consequences." So let's take pills and rest, for example. Those methods, and this is a big overall problem we're talking about here, is that they mute the pain rather than actually treating its underlying cause. It's like a temporary Band-Aid. And then with surgery, let's just forget the costs for a minute. There was a team of researchers at the University of Cincinnati Medical School, and they tracked roughly 1,500 workers who had debilitating back pain that was keeping them from work. Half of the workers had surgery and half did not have surgery. So you have two groups, 750 of them get surgery, 750 do not get surgery. Then they follow these people for 2 years. After 2 years, roughly 75% of those who had surgery were still in debilitating pain and unable to return to work. But 67% of those who didn't have surgery were back to working. Of the people who went under the knife, that is, had surgery, 36% had complications, 27% required another surgery. They also had higher rates of opioid abuse afterwards. Now, here's one of the crazy things about back pain as well, is that it sometimes comes from something that a doctor can scan or see on an image and diagnose. For example, an injured disc, a tumor, osteoporosis, or a fracture. But most of it, 85% of it, is labeled what is called nonspecific. And that is pain that is basically caused by the way we now live. It's just pain that you can't scan and see. It's just a condition of modern living. Now, luckily, exercise seems to be the most powerful way to treat this type of non-specific back pain. Exercise. Of course, it's not as easy as popping a pill or resting, but it is much cheaper and more effective. And how about the side effects? Instead of all the insanely heinous list of side effects you hear on the pharma commercials, the side effects of exercise are that you look better, you feel better, you're happier, you live longer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'll take those side effects, right? But in the world of exercise, so we know that exercise is probably a better, smarter, safer, more effective way to treat non-specific back pain, which is the vast majority of back pain. But there's obviously a lot of different ways to exercise, right? So this was kind of the underlying thing that this group of scientists, they were based out of China, were thinking about as they started to look into the research around back pain. They ended up publishing a big review of the literature. It was published in Frontiers of Public Health, and it basically investigated exactly what kind of exercise seems to help back pain the most. So here's what they did. The scientists looked at all the existing research on the topic. They analyzed the results from 75 different studies. These studies, they included a total of more than 5,000 people from all different age ranges, all different nationalities. 20 different forms of exercise were included. For example, yoga, cardio, core exercises, swimming and water workouts, Tai Chi, Pilates, stretching, on and on, into a lot of sort of special, specific clinical and physical therapy methods. There was just a lot that they looked at. Now, the one big good news, good takeaway, is that doing any exercise at all, it beat doing nothing. But here's the thing. When you look at all of them, compared to traditional rehab, yoga and core exercises came out on top. They seem to be the ones that might have moved the dial the most. Now, this does not mean, though, that your back pain will disappear if you just start hammering yoga and hammering core exercises and doing all these other exercises under the sun. In fact, and this is kind of strange, people who exercise hard have higher rates of back pain than the average person. So to understand that, and before we explain the three best back pain exercises, you need to understand the complex relationship between exercise and back pain. So even the best exercise interventions, they can hurt you if you do too much too soon. You could have the perfect exercise to fix any problem, but if you do too much of it too soon, that's going to create a problem. So you can think about this like medicine, right? So medicine is great for fixing a disease or fixing a problem, but if you take too much medicine, you overdose, you cause damage, right? It's just like the dose makes the poison. Some dose is really good, but go beyond that and it can be really bad. Same with exercise. So the back health expert, Stu McGill, he really does a wonderful job explaining this concept. I have linked out to a video of him talking about this topic we're about to talk about, which is effectively strength threshold and what happens when we cross it. He's talking about it in his own words, linked out to the video on twopct.com. So check it out. But what he does is he explains that our backs basically have a biological tipping point. Most of our systems do, but we're focusing on back pain right now. So our backs have this biological tipping point. We get injured when we cross that tipping point by doing too much exercise too soon. So here are the main factors that push you over your tipping point. You could do too many sets and reps in a single session. You could do a single exercise for too long of a duration. You could go too intense, either in weight or in speed. So just something really heavy, or you run really fast and something, bam, pops. You could also have not enough recovery or time between the last exercise session. But when you do the right dose of exercise and follow it with some rest, you improve your biological tipping point so you can do more exercise safer next time. That is how you improve your fitness level. You want to come up to that threshold, not get too close to it, then back off and then rest. Let your body do its thing and it will increase your threshold and then you can continue that. And that is effectively how you become fitter over time. So in short, you want to do enough work to stimulate a response and then back off. In the piece slash post on 2% TWOPCT, I have drawn four different graphs from Stu McGill, the source we just talked about, sort of the world's foremost expert on back pain, to help you visualize this concept. And I have a breakdown of each graph in the piece. I'm going to kind of go over it using my words, but I'm also describing something that is highly visual. So I highly recommend that you go on to twopct.com, check out the graphs and kind of follow along so you can get the context here. Now, what the graphs really look at is they look at how injury risk increases as we get close to our strength threshold. So I'm going to kind of try to summarize all of them. And the first graph, it basically shows how injury occurs. So in a single session, if you know your, say, strength threshold is at a 10 and the exercises you do bring you up to a 6, well, you're not going to get injured because you've still got a remaining 4 there that is going to give you enough room to work hard, right? You're not going to get injured. But if you exercise at, say, an 11 and your strength threshold is at a 10, you are going to get injured. So the second graph, it's slightly different. It shows why doing an exercise for too long can injure you. So in this example, what happens is, let's say you start an exercise like running or like rucking, and you are only going at a, say, 3. Okay, great. But you're maintaining a 3 for a really, really long time. Well, what happens is as people start to get fatigued, your strength threshold, the point at which where your intensity of exercise crosses, it starts to go down. So it'll start to go down over time as you get tired. And if you keep going and your strength threshold, it drops below your intensity eventually because you've gone so long, you're going to get injured. The third graph. This graph visualizes why too many reps of an exercise can injure us. Similar to the example I just gave with running or rucking, let's say you're doing sort of rep after rep after rep and you start and your strength threshold is at a 10. Well, again, as you get more tired after you do more reps, keep doing reps, dun, 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 well, eventually that line is going to drop below the intensity of the exercise you're doing and you're going to get injured. Number 4, graph 4. This one illustrates how we improve our resilience and fitness. And the way we do that, this is the what to do graph, is the combination of exercise within our limits followed by rest. That then increases our strength tolerance. So in this example, what happens is the person exercises hard. They exercise at, say, a 5, and their strength tolerance is a 10. Now, as they exercise, their strength tolerance kind of drops a little lower because, yeah, they're getting tired, but they never cross it. And then they rest. They rest for, say, 2 days. What happens is because you've given your body that stimulus, your body goes, oh, I need to increase my strength tolerance threshold. So your body rebounds, and now its tolerance is at, say, a 12. And so then in that next workout, you can go at, say, a 7, and you can maintain that. And you just keep repeating that, and over time, you get the point. Your strength tolerance, your strength threshold, it increases, and your fitness increases. So that is sort of the path to thinking about, how do I increase my resilience? How do I increase my fitness? You want to get close to that line, and then pull back and rest. But you also need to realize that the more you exercise in a session, whether it's weightlifting in the gym for a bunch of time, whether it is running, that as you get more tired, your tolerance starts to slowly go down and down and down. And the more you keep exercising, the higher the likelihood you are going to go over it and get injured. Okay, that was a nice veer into like heady theory about injury and strength tolerance and fitness stuff. But I think it's really important to understand if you're going to be able to use this stuff moving forward. So now let's get into the 3 exercises that most help back pain. So I mentioned Stu McGill earlier. He's the guy who had the video. He's arguably the world's foremost authority on back pain. He studied the topic for decades. He's racked up tens of thousands of citations. He is sort of the man. He's also in the comfort crisis, by the way. I didn't put that in the piece, but he is in the comfort crisis. Now, Stu McGill has discovered 3 exercises that are particularly effective for preventing and rehabilitating back pain. He's used them to help everyone from championship athletes to busy office workers. Everyone. Now, of course, the study I mentioned, it talked about core stabilization exercises being really important and yoga being pretty decent too. I think when you go deeper into the research, core stabilization exercises are the sort of moneymaker here. And McGill has found three that he thinks are most important. If you want to continue listening to this episode, please become a member of 2% with Michael Easter. Go to TWOPCT.com. Once you become a member, you'll get full access to this episode and all of our past and future episodes. Plus, you'll get the newsletter, which releases the most useful and practical health, performance, and mindset information online 3 times each week. Thanks.